Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. Settle back, everybody. This is a show you definitely want to watch. You know, everybody reaches out to me at the .com Magazine and they say, Jake, we love it when you bring experts in. We love it when you bring consultants and coaches in. And we have so many questions about business that we love it when you bring worldwide leading experts on the show in their particular spaces. So we went through the Rolodex, and I've been very fortunate to grab Mr. Mark Musselman. And Mark is the founder and CEO of MX5 Consulting and Coaching, of course. And you probably know about Mark. You've probably heard about him, but I'm so happy to have him on the show. Mark, without further ado, I mean, we only have 30 minutes. I have so many questions. Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Well, thanks, Jake. Thanks for having me here. It's a total delight and looking forward to the conversation.
It's great to have you on the show. So many people that watch the show have, you know, reached out to me and they said, next time you get a worldwide leader on the show in consulting and coaching, ask these questions. But before we get started, let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet, like we always do on the show, and tell us about MX5 Consulting and Coaching, just to start with.
Yeah, I love the question and I appreciate it. And, you know, I entered this particular foray after having been part of a multi-generational family-owned business. So entrepreneurship sort of is in the bloodline. You know, my parents both showed up that way. And I came in and was basically raised in a culture and a family environment that just appreciated and valued entrepreneurship. So my family's business, you know, like many family businesses, ended up going through bankruptcy back in 2009, which allowed me to go through at that time as the CEO, a process of learning that I would have never been able to experience had it ended differently. And so what I noticed is there were many challenges that my family's business faced. I faced as the CEO that I was certain other entrepreneurs and CEOs faced. So I took, like most people do when they're at the end of a journey, you know, put a consulting plaque on my wall and walked out the door and just began to ask lots of questions. So the way I approach this is I'm certain that there are people who are stuck and who, with the aid of some assistance, can become unstuck. And I approach it through inquiry, basically just slowing down, listening, asking questions, and then being patient to let the person who I'm in that conversation with kind of guide where it is that they're feeling stuck or frustrated.
Yeah, Mark, it makes all the sense in the world. You've been able to take your background and experience and turn it on its head, so to speak, and take what you've learned and help so many other people. I mean, your testimonials are remarkable with regard to their business and take your background and experience. You've been through, like all entrepreneurs, you've been through some potholes in the road and hit some walls, but you've learned how to navigate and get around them. And it's this type of experience and this type of expertise that people reach out to you for. What are the types of companies that you help? Who reaches out to you? What's sort of the perfect client for your business right now, Mark?
Yeah, again, love the question. And I'd say more often than not, the clients that come to me have been in a conversation, probably amongst a peer group. They have found themselves, you know, recognizing that why they got into business and what they intended to create as a result of getting into business is not being fully recognized or realized. And, you know, I use the language, they're stuck. And, you know, that thing that they're in, typically, like it did for me, had me, you know, waking up early in the morning, preventing me from going to bed at night. And it's that thing that sort of just lived in my consciousness. And no matter how much I wanted to solve it, work through it, overcome it, I kept on hitting roadblock after roadblock. And so, you know, I know that most people, you know, find themselves at some point in time in that place. And, you know, I think the reason I mentioned that whole bankruptcy piece to you before is, and I mean this genuinely, there's a disarming nature to having a conversation with somebody where it doesn't go ego to ego, right? And so it allows for somebody to get really vulnerable and very transparent and talk about what's really going on, what has them in that place. And I found just, you know, I used to hide it. I used to pretend like it didn't happen. I used to avoid it. And now I just lean into it, not to make anything of it other than this recognition that, you know, if you're not careful, if you're not looking for support advice, you too could find yourself in a place where the thing that has you really gets you. And so before it gets to that point, you know, it's time to raise the flag, reach out and look for help and support. You know, we don't do this alone. But when you're in that role as an entrepreneur, and see, sometimes it is very isolating. You don't want to go to your board if you have one. You don't want to drop down into your organization. If you take the issue home, you probably don't get the same kind of vetting and sounding board. So finding somebody or some place that you can work through those things in a safe, secure, open, and constructive environment is huge.
Yeah, Mark, I love it so much. Everybody that watches the show, you know, they know I'm a big believer in coaches and mentorship and consultants. And one thing that resonates about your business, Mark, is one of the reasons why you've become so successful is because you've walked sort of in the same shoes as the entrepreneurs you're talking to. You lived with the known fear and doubt and insecurity that they confront in your own past experience, and you're able to bring that to the table. When people reach out to you, what's that first conversation sound like? Are you asking a lot of questions? Are you doing a lot of listening? What's that first conversation with the entrepreneurs reaching out, wanting to get a piece of you, Mark?
Yeah, and so I'd say the very first thing I would always ask somebody is, what was it that prompted them to pick up the phone or reach out? Because that usually is a good place to start. And if they're at a place where they've hit it, like, I mean, hit the bottom or near the bottom, and they're reaching out, hopefully in that space, they're open and they're honest and they're not trying to pretend and, you know, nuance the situation. So I just listen and then I just say, you know, again, please go on. Tell me more. What else? How long has this been going on? You know, things like that. And then I would probably at some point in time, shortly thereafter, just ask them, like, what's the most important conversation that you and I could be having right now that would make a difference in your life and your business?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. It makes all the sense. It resonates for me. And of course, you become famous for what I call the 3 a.m. incident. I mean, you want to hear what keeps your potential client up at night and wakes them up at 3 a.m. in the morning. I love that so much. Let's talk about that. You know, what are the things that are keeping entrepreneurs up at 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, well, that could take a half hour by itself. So, you know, but I look at it through what I would recognize, and I've seen this over the hundreds of different clients that I've had an opportunity to work with and myself, is that there's that sense of overwhelm, right? Like, no matter what I do, there's never enough minutes or hours in a day, and you don't get to manufacture more, and neither do I. And so there's that sense of just feeling like I never have enough time. That lends itself to this constant state of being reactive and tactical. And I'm just responding. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't really bode well for me or anyone in the organization. A lot of times there's a gap in leadership skills. Probably the biggest one is delegating and then holding people accountable. And so what happens is the CEO entrepreneur becomes this constraint. They become the bottleneck for virtually anything happening in organization, and they may not even realize it. So looking for blind spots and leadership gaps. Again, I mentioned before the sense of isolation and the sense of, like, I've got to do it by myself. And that's just not true. And, you know, that's a thing that I think in and of itself is enormous. And then the last one I would mention is this idea of employee engagement. Like, I started a business, I've brought people into my business, and oh my goodness, you know, no one loves the business. No one is here working the way I'm working. And that can lend itself to all kinds of frustrations and other behaviors. And so I'd say those are some examples of things that show up. I do take a very holistic approach. You know, I was sort of brought through the Stephen Covey body, mind, heart, spirit. I look at it and I'm always asking my client about intellectual health, spiritual health, financial, relational, and physical health. Because oftentimes an entrepreneur can become a one or two dimensional person, and they may have a phenomenally successful economic business, but you know, they're heading towards divorce, or they're, you know, morbidly obese, or, you know, devoid of any connection with anything bigger than themselves. So I think it's the combination of those things.
Yeah, that makes sense, Mark. And of course, since you opened up the practice, you've coached and have consulted with several hundred business owners, CEOs, presidents, executive directors, and people in the senior, you know, level suite. When we think about corporate culture, Mark, and we think about, you know, that corporate culture starts at the top. When you consult with your people, how important is it for you to get across to them that your corporate culture really doesn't resonate for the people working for you unless you sort of walk the walk and talk the talk as a senior executive?
Yeah. And I think you've just put the hammer on the nail, and it really begins with self-awareness. And unfortunately, lots and lots of business owners and senior leaders have done almost no or very little work on understanding who they are. And without that knowledge, without that sense of going inward first, it makes it very difficult to effectively, sustainably, and consistently lead other people. Because, you know, a lot of it gets expressed out in the world as ego and many other things, and about power and control, instead of, you know, sort of the constructive ways of operating and leading a business. So that's why I think really everybody who's in that role would be responsible. I mean, like literally responsible, because there's no there, right? You know, I've been with a coach as a customer and a client of a coach now for 18, the last 21 years. And that seems like, why would I do that? When does that end? Well, I don't think it ever does, because I'm still breathing. I'm still walking forward. I'm still leading people. I'm still working to make an impact. And so I want to be the best version of myself. And in order to do that, I partner with somebody who helps me make that become a reality.
Yeah, that's powerful. And of course, you walk the walk and talk the talk. And one thing that you're known for, Mark, is your conversations with your clients. They're very intimate and they're very intense. In other words, you believe in having these intense conversations. Where did that sort of belief come from? Because it's very fascinating.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly where it came from, because it didn't used to be that way. And I talk about this distinction between innate skills and learned skills. For me, it became a learned skill, and I was introduced to a book called Fierce Conversations back in 2002 by, at that point in time, my Vistage chair and my coach. And he introduced me to this book, and what I recognized after having read it is I had been stepping over, avoiding, and walking around countless conversations that, without addressing the issue, I was being impacted. There's that phrase that, you know, which you, which, what is it? That which you resist persists, or that which you ignore grows and expands. Right. And so I just learned, you know, the value of stepping into the heat of conversations that have significance. And, you know, people misunderstand the title of the book, Fierce Conversations, as some kind of it's not really confrontational. It's about having the commitment to step in and stand in the heat, because that's a serving process instead of a pleasing process, which is me avoiding it and pretending it doesn't exist. So it began with my immediate older brother, really, quite honestly. And he and I were in massive conflict, which I didn't appreciate, didn't want for that to continue. So I got in a plane and flew to my brother and outlined my very first quote unquote fierce conversation. I thought we'd be in this coffee shop for 15, 20 minutes. 9 hours later, we left and we have been, you know, sort of locked at the hip ever since. So it doesn't work out that way all the time, but sometimes it has the potential to do that.
Mark, that's awesome. And of course, you know, you've been locked at the hip ever since the coffee shop. And that's great. That's a great outcome. Now, one thing that you're also known for is you call it, you dive into the process. And I love this so much, of slowing down to the speed of a fully present conversation. And that really, really resonated for me when I hear that, because when I think about it, you know, you slow things down so you can get this deep conversation with your clients. When a client has a need that you can consult them on, but they need a marketing arm or they need a PR arm or they need a technology arm, how do you connect those pieces for your clients? Do you have a group of people that you bring to the table in your consulting practice that then you can connect your clients with?
Absolutely. I go into each conversation, you know, with this idea that I walk in there individually, but I come as a team. And what I find often, in particular with entrepreneurs, is they may need some help with either tax planning, estate planning, you know, some structural areas, legal issues that I don't have any expertise in. And I'm extremely clear and very direct. Like, I don't know that. And I have people who do, that I trust and who have done a phenomenal job with other clients that I've referred to. So I would bring those other individuals into those. I do it oftentimes with, you know, more complex finance issues. Somebody's looking for another round of funding, or you could name a number of different things. But I love the idea. And as you would well assume, you know, that creates a nice network that I'm part of as well. So, you know, that's that pay it forward, and we all benefit when we're helping people move forward and grow.
Yeah, I love it, Mark. And of course, that leads me to my next question. A lot of people wanted me to ask you this question about strategic planning. You know, strategic planning is all about alignment. You know, it's all about aligning these different things within an organization. You're an expert at this. Let's talk about that part of your practice, the strategic planning part of the practice.
Yeah, so I got introduced to this as an idea, a concept, and then an actual discipline and practice when I was part of a very complex, multi-generationally owned family business. So there were, imagine this, 7 of us that were family members in the business full time, and all 7 had a unique idea of where they saw the business going. So we had to go outside of ourselves to bring in somebody who could help us facilitate and move from basically 7 sheets of music to 1. I just shared this conversation earlier today, as a matter of fact, with a client of mine, and let them know that when we moved and made the shift from each of us sort of being committed to being right, you know, and stuck to our own song sheet to 1 song sheet, we went from a very, very nominal business to massive growth. And it just settles everything down in the organization, and people understand how they fit, what they're doing, how what they're doing contributes to where you're going. And it creates a synergy that you don't get without that kind of slowed down process. I do share with clients all the time, because many think it's about what they produce as a roadmap at the end of the process. But yes, that's helpful. The one thing I can tell you for sure is the minute that roadmap is printed or you know, codified, it's wrong. It's generally a guide, you know, a guide. But what really is valuable is the conversation that takes place in the room over a couple of days, because we don't generally, as a business environment, commit time for that level of conversation and listening and understanding of one another. It is essential. And so now I walk down the hall and I see, oh, there's Jake, and we've got a connection because we just spent a couple of days together listening to one another and working to understand one another that we never had before. And that is invaluable.
Yeah, that's so powerful, the way you approach it. For the people watching the show, rewind what Mark just said. I mean, it's sort of a mini MBA, a mini Harvard MBA he just gave you about how to approach it, the mindset. Let's talk about this one-on-one coaching part of your practice, because I found that fascinating. When people want your coaching, is it mostly because their mind isn't right or their a process in their business isn't right? Which one of those do they reach out to you, or is it both?
I'd say yes to the answer. It's both. And, you know, the one thing I love about this work more than anything is that no two people come to the conversation with the same challenges. There may be similarities, and often there are, but we're all individuals, right? Living an individual experience. And I never know what's going to occur. That's why I begin with the simple question, like, what had you reaching out to me? And why are we in this conversation? I don't want to assume anything, because the minute I assume, I'm 100% of the time wrong. And then the next question is, what's the most important conversation the two of us should be or need to be having right now? That's just more information. And then, you know, as a I'll call it a skilled inquisitor, you know, it's like, go on, what else? Say more. Why that? You know, two word follow-up questions. And the key there is then for me to button my lips and listen. What I know about CEOs and entrepreneurs is mostly they don't want to be talked at. They're not hiring me to talk at them. What they're mostly hiring me to do is listen to them so they're understood, they're gotten, they're experienced, and then through the skill of good questions, help them create their own path forward. There's a educational sort of pedagogy that talks about the primacy of self-discovery. And I have found universally this to be true, that if I use great questions and then listen and follow up with more great questions, the people who I'm in conversation with will find their own path and they'll own it. If I give them a path, maybe they'll own it. But yeah, it's that piece. And I think the key here is for me, and this didn't used to be this way when I was younger and trying to impress people, because I used to try to fill that space like, oh, I know something and you should know what I know. I don't have that about me anymore, right? I'm really about, I want to know where you are. I want to know and understand what you're going through, what has you waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then if I listen deeply, let's use your wisdom, your experience in your business to create a path forward. And then let's see what happens, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And the other thing that I'll add is that I cannot want something for another person more than they want it themselves. And I won't take that on. I used to, again, when I was younger doing this, I used to try to put their backpack on and carry their backpack and my backpack up the hill. And I realized all that did is made me exhausted. You know, now it's like, hey, you've got your backpack, I've got my backpack, and I'd love to, you know, walk with you up the hill, but I am not picking your pack up.
Yeah, that's great, Mark. And of course, you know, after interviewing many of the worldwide leading consultants and coaches throughout the world, one thing that resonates for me is they all say that they have to leave their ego at the door, you know, and that's a great sort of thing for entrepreneurs to think about, because it's all about your customer. It's all about them. It's all about your clients, and you become known for that. Now, when we think about one thing, when I think about, you know, Mark Musselman, one thing that comes to mind, and I know you've only cut out a certain amount of time and I really appreciate it, but you like to focus on the right things. That's what you call it. Because, you know, when you focus on the right things day after day, you get to where you want to go, you know, with greater speed and greater efficiency. So that's a great concept. Maybe you could suss that out for the listeners, because I love that so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a quote that a friend of mine gave me years ago. I'm not going to, you know, recite it accurately, but it's in Alice in Wonderland. I think the Cheshire Cat comes to split in the road, and, you know, somebody at the fork says, well, what do you want? He said, I don't know. He said, well, it doesn't matter which path you take. And so you can take the left path, the right path. It doesn't matter if you don't know what you want and where you're going. So this idea of right things, again, I'll just reference a fantastic book that was given to me by my very first coach in 1999 called Best Year Yet, Your Best Year Yet. The author's name is Ginny Ditzler. It's a framework. I love it. And what it does is it helps me And then I have since used it to help others really go through and identify what are my values? What do I stand for? You know, what do I notice about my life that works? What do I want? You know, what are the roles that I play? And it helps me clarify what I refer to as the right things. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is we only all get this much time. And if we're not really good stewards of the time, our life can pass us by pretty quickly. And then we're looking back thinking, you know, did I use this finite resource in the most effective ways to help me and those around me create the life and the experience that I want out of this journey, period. So that's what I mean by the right things.
Yeah, it's so solid. The way you talk, I can see why you resonate with so many people. It's very straightforward, but yet behind the scenes, there's this complexity of everything you've learned throughout the years, and you're able to tighten it up into a nice, neat bow for your clients in a very simplistic way that they can understand. And that's really the key to being a great consultant and a great coach. Now, before we go, let's give back to the entrepreneurial community, because some entrepreneurs, maybe we have younger entrepreneurs watching the show, and maybe they're hitting a roadblock. Maybe they're hitting a bump in the road or a wall they can't get over, or maybe they freeze in the frame, like they're freaking out a little bit. So Mark, maybe you could give some advice to the younger entrepreneurs watching the show who are hitting a roadblock on what they need to think about to get through it and come out the other end better for having gone through it.
Yeah, I really appreciate that question. And having, you know, this is my fourth iteration of the entrepreneurial journey. And one of the things I would say is that a very wise person once reminded me, and this is Buddha saying life is 10,000 joys and 10,000 sufferings. Right. And that's the whole essence of yin and yang and the balance and, you know, light and dark. And, you know, as an entrepreneur or as a father or as a husband or as whatever, you know, we want to live more in the 10,000 joy space than we do the 10,000 sufferings. And I say that in the sense that when things surface, I'll go back all the way to the beginning, like the bankruptcy. When I was in it, I thought my life was over. Right. And then what I realized in hindsight and retrospect is what an amazing journey that was filled with infinite gifts and infinite gifts that, you know, I use and leverage every single time. So when you're in it, recognize to some degree that this too shall pass, right? And keeping that as a place of reference. And the other part is learning to never take yourself too seriously.
Wow, what a great piece of advice. I could see that being the name of your book or the next book that you're going to write with regard to the yin and the yang and the 10,000, you know, great things that happened to you and the 10,000 disappointments. And really interesting. I mean, I love that concept. I'm going to have to sort of rewind it myself and maybe memorize what you just said. I'm going to steal that one from you because I love it so much, Mark. Listen, this has been a great interview. And I think I'm going to have you back on the show to talk a little bit more about sort of the spiritual aspect of what you do and how spirituality and this sort of enlightened look at life can help entrepreneurs through their journey. It's just been remarkable. Of course, what you're doing at MX5 Consulting and Coaching is fantastic. We'll put all the links below the interview. But Mark, I wanted to thank you for slicing out some time today. This has been a great interview and congratulations on everything you're doing. And thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thank you, Jake. It's been a pleasure. Have a wonderful rest of your day.